I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. Mark returning to the show.
Yeah.
Robin to the side of me. And me, Matt, talking Bills news with a UK twist. And we are, what, 8 days? A little less than that? A little more than that? Till the game? 8, 9, 10, 11?
11 days, 12 days?
12 days. Yeah.
Not long. Can't wait.
Not long. And we've just finished. We've just broken the streak.
Yeah.
We've broken the streak that me and you, Robin, we hyped up last week.
Yeah.
Saying 10-0. Last few years, and now we've lost. I don't think we should make predictions like that if we're on a hot streak.
Yeah, it was the commentator's curse, wasn't it? 10 in a row. I think we knew we were in trouble when we heard that the Panthers were going to be playing their starters. And for them, that they're a kind of improving team that probably wanted to see how their starters looked and get some homework done ahead of the regular season. For the Bills and for those teams that are a lot more established in the building of their roster, it was a bubble game, wasn't it? They were always going to play with the seconds or thirds, and it was likely going to happen in that fashion.
And at the end of the day, if we're going to lose any streak in this whole, 22-23 season, losing your unbeaten pre-season streak is one I'm all right with.
Yes, I'll trade that for an unbeaten regular season. Yes,
who cares?
That's true. I mean, we lost the streak. Panthers played their first for pretty much the whole of the first half, and if you include Darnold for majority of the second half as a starter, even though he's now named as the backup to Baker Mayfield, it's also good to see how the second and third string guys do against better quality opponents and actually really help that talent evaluation process. Because obviously, and we're going to go on it a bit later on, go through our 53-man roster. These guys are on a bubble, have a chance to prove themselves against first-teamers or the guys that play in the first half to prove they're worthy on the roster. So, in essence, there's always a saying that you never say preseason is just another game and all that. Yeah, it is. Score really doesn't matter for it. It's just what information and what you take away from these games that will help you in the future.
I think that there's a chance that some of these guys may have played their way onto a practice squad, possibly if they played really well in game three. But I'm fairly sure the coaching staff at McDermott knew what his 53-man roster is well before this game.
Yeah, I think he's probably got an either or in about two positions, but that's probably about it. If we've got 53, I think 50 are probably locks, and he's got one or two he's just tossing up. But as Mark says, I don't think the game had much to do with it. You may be seeing if someone flames out, or maybe if someone gets injured, God forbid, then you've got a decision to make. But yeah, it's probably fairly fixed in his mind, I think.
I know. I stayed up to watch pretty much, I would actually say 98% of it on last night. Saying before we went on there to Robin, I watched the first three quarters and the first 5 minutes of the second quarter. Then I somehow dozed off and woke up with like 3 minutes left to go. It was kind of annoying, but luckily I didn't really miss anything.
You did not. And it got delayed for half an hour, didn't it? Because of lightning as well. Yeah, that's even less fun as well. Reminds me of Chiefs game, wasn't it? Chiefs game did that with the locker room flooded in the regular season last year, and I was like, oh, come on, it's already starting at 1:15. Can't we, give up another half an hour?
I mean, you're looking at a game. I know, Mark, you didn't actually, you haven't yet watched the game. I'll probably say lucky for you.
Yes.
You didn't actually subject yourself to it.
No, I was getting drunk at a cricket match.
but Robin, what was your take from it? I mean, we've seen, obviously, we know that, and we'll talk briefly on it, that we got a new punter for the game.
The quarterback.
Yeah.
The quarterback.
Yeah.
But
His first one was actually pretty good. Got a pretty good Buffalo bounce. Yeah, that was all right. Good pass breakup by Elam. Sorry, mate.
Carry on.
Oh no, what I was going to say was
carry on.
Good pass breakup. Yeah, you carry on. Sorry, yeah. Good pass breakup from Elam. Good. No silly penalties given away, from what I remember. Elam and Benford, because they were a bit handsy in the second game, so I was quite pleased with that. Classic Bills giving up first down defense, giving first down conversions on a 3rd and 12, a 3rd and 10, and a couple of 4th downs. Which I don't know what I don't know what the Leslie Frazier is absolutely brilliant as defensive coordinator. He's brilliant for first 2 downs, gets them in 3rd and 12, and then they just all go on holiday for a 3rd and 12. They soften up so much that I just think, do what you did for the first 2 downs, you'll be fine. Interesting watching the running game against the first ranked defense. Didn't look nearly as strong. James Cook got stopped for a loss, couldn't get any holes. Again, you were playing with second string O-line, so yeah, they got run around quite a bit. Had an awful 4th down conversion of Carolina 8. And really, just my final comment. Obviously, the darling of the training camps and the preseason, Raheem Blackshear. He's good late on in games when he's playing against thirds, and he has those flashes. But kind of who he is, he's a guy who's good against thirds. I just don't see him making the roster. But hey, could be a year two. You know, keep him around in the practice squad. See if he can develop into something, but at the moment he's basically a third string guy.
So, Mark, did you see any of the first two games?
Yeah.
What was your take, obviously, on people that you think? Because me and Robin did stock up, stock down last time. Is there any takeaways really you had from those games? Really, when it comes to guys that are on the bubble, that could actually make it?
I guess I'm probably similar. Jake Kumerow, I thought, has been okay. I think that Isaiah McKenzie, not really someone that you would classify as being on the bubble, but he's looked very solid, and I think a better option at the minute than Jameson Crowder. He's been decent. I think Bobby Hart actually has played all right. So far he's kind of turned it around a little bit, and I think he's probably comfortably in the 53. I don't think there's any. Everyone else has been fairly as I would expect. It's Blackshear, I think, like Robin rightly points out, has looked solid. I think Duke Johnson has also looked pretty solid when he's had the ball in his hands. I don't think either of them are making the roster. So it's, you know, that shows the value of preseason. I think that they're probably learning as much about the guy, or far more about the guys in practices than they are necessarily in the games, which is all about match fitness. I think for me, it's fine. I think it's the people that you would have expected. Even if you hadn't played a preseason game, it would be the same 53 probably in a lot of cases that they would have predicted at the beginning of before week one.
Yeah. I mean, with Blackshear itself, I mean, he did have a little bit of a go against against some of the first team Panthers guys. But yeah, I get everyone's going to say that reason that it's second and thirds on there as well, that he's actually up against and actually showing his mettle and showing what he can actually do. I still think there is a way of getting him on there. And the fact that he's taken the majority of the kick return and punt return duties this preseason kind of makes me think that they know what they've got in him, and they're going to try and stash him as that player. But that's just my opinion. I think the way we can work it, I know me and Robin did talk about it earlier, about ways of actually trying to get him on and obviously avoid losing him. Even when I've done, and people have done mock 53s, and the one we're doing later on, it's going to be loosely based on what I've actually done so far. I can find a way of getting Blackshear onto that 53 without really sacrificing any other position, which some people may think, what the fuck and how the fuck can you do that? But
you're making an interesting conversation, but okay.
Yeah, I can see him make it and actually have him then develop, because we mentioned that Singletary is in his contract year on there. Moss, this is his prove it year. I think he's got a 3 year. Anyone after gets 3 years, don't they, or 4 years? But he's in a prove it year. So if they keep Blackshear on the roster, just give him the kick returns and punt returns and see him in practice, they could really give Singletary and Cook and Moss a run for their money. And we could see in the future Cook, Blackshear backfield.
Okay. Wow. This should make the roster conversation interesting then.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at it. I mean, we'll get into it, because I say there's not really much we can dissect from the game itself. There's not really much in the way that we know that the majority of this roster is set, and it's just going to be the odd two or three fighting out for that last position. So if we go on to the 53 man setup, I mean, I don't think we need to talk about quarterback room.
I think Josh Allen makes the 53.
I think there he probably makes it just.
I'm calling it now.
That's your bold prediction. I like it.
That's it. I'm going for it now. Timestamp at the moment.
Shit, I had Keenum and Barkley as my quarterback room.
Oh.
I forgot all about Allen. Jeez. Oh, yeah. You barely see him and you just totally forget about him. No. But we know it's Allen and Keenum that are going to be the quarterback room.
Yes.
And what we'll do, we'll just go through what I've actually got down to say. This is mine. I've got 49, which I think are locks. So we're going to have to find four more positions on there. Disagree with me if I'm wrong on these, by all means. At running back.
Okay.
Roster locks, I have Singletary, Moss, and Cook.
Yes,
agreed.
Obviously, you don't give a contract to the fullback and cut him straight away. So Reggie Gillum is safe.
Reggie's in.
Agreed on that as well.
Yeah.
Wide receivers. This is based on mine.
Can I interject just real quickly? So you're going for four running backs.
Go for it.
Okay.
Well, three running backs and a fullback.
Well, okay, yes, in the umbrella, but you're going for four because where does Tywan Jones sit? Because I think he goes for his special teams. Does he count as a running back or?
Yeah, he'd be a running back that you would take.
Okay,
if he's in, he would be another running back.
So on mine, I would say we go five, including Tywan Jones, but I agree with your four. If that makes sense.
So I think these are what I think are locks at the moment. So I mean, Jones is going to be an interesting discussion, and we can obviously work it to actually fit these last four in there. Wide receivers, again, I think the locks obviously are Diggs, Davis, McKenzie, Shakir, Crowder.
Okay.
I have Hodgins also as a lock for me.
Not for
and
me.
You're saying so six, and you're six. Saying six receivers.
Six receivers.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I would also have six, but I would disagree with one of your locks there.
Hodgins.
Hodgkins for me doesn't make it. But I think Jake Kumerow, because of his special teams, is a lock to go as a wide receiver.
I say six and I say Hodgins. But it's almost a coin flip. I totally get the Kumar angle. Yeah.
I don't think
Hodgins has seen a bit more. I've just seen a bit more from Hodgins.
Yeah, I think he's getting cut.
And this may be the thing that we do with this last four, that you may be able to stash Hodgins on there, because as we've discussed previously, there are times where Bills will either roster seven on a 53 or a six. And the fact that we've got so many locks on there and we've got I say literally like three or four, I would say luxury, let's call them luxury picks for the 53 that we could really go in any direction.
So I would agree. But therefore that would rule out Hodgkins being classified as a lock. I don't think there's any way you can classify him as a lock pick. I think he's very much on the bubble and could make the roster, but I don't think there would be anybody that would classify him as a guaranteed roster spot.
Yeah.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, everyone says obviously Kumaro based on his special teams. Yeah, I give that. He's played in special teams, but all preseason and every preseason game, they've had Hodgins actually run on special teams on all four and all the different types of special teams plays, which I think was punt coverage, kick coverage, and all that one. I don't know how many different areas of the special teams game there is, yeah. But he's actually had the runs on there, and actually when he's been given the opportunity on the pitch, actually on the offense, he's shone a lot more than Kumaro. I don't think Kumaro's really had a strong preseason. And I think the fact that Hodgins is learning in SEM and practicing special teams could make him more of a lock and put Kumaro on the bubble. Again, I say that's my opinion on that. And
I think there's five wide receiver locks, and then
we'll
see after that, right?
And I think there's probably two questions they're probably asking, maybe even three, which is, do we take six or seven? If we take seven, then maybe they both go. If they take six, then it's, I think, Kumaro versus Hodgins. And the question they're probably asking, two and three, is who can we count on better in special teams, which I think Kumaro may just edge that. A third question they may be asking is, whomever we let go, can we get them back on the practice squad? Is a factor going to be, if we let Hodgins go, is he more likely to get picked up? If they let Kumaro go, is he more likely to get picked up? I don't know if that plays into their calculation, that they think the person they name is more likely to get picked up if they're cut.
I would also say there's probably a fourth question to add into the mix here, and that is someone that they had on the roster last year and they as quoted as really liking, but is rehabbing at the moment, and that's Marquez Stevenson. Mm. They really like him. He's firmly on a wide receiver bubble, but if he can prove to be fit, I also think there's a chance that he makes the 53 ahead of either Kumaro or Hodgkins, in my opinion, Hodgins.
Interesting.
Okay.
He's a capable wide receiver and clearly a special teams threat, punt returner, kick returner, as was last season. So I think the coaching staff have constantly said if there is a roster spot battle and there's someone who offers dynamic special teams or multiple special teams threats, they will always get the nod over the other.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I think that him being injured right now is a blessing for Stevenson, because I think it's like Hodgins, I think it was maybe his first or second year, he actually had that injury in preseason. They IR'd him for the whole season. They locked him down so they could bring him back. I kind of have a feeling if with Stevenson and his injury, they might like to do the same.
But I think he's fit now. I don't think he's now injured technically anymore. No, I think he's missed most of it, but I think he's kind of now actually in theory fit. So it's whether shoot him in the leg. Yeah, that's fine. It's whether he's fit enough, I guess, and whether his lack of action in preseason counts against him. It may well do.
Yeah. So, the only other thing you've got to worry about when Robin, you asked that question about who would more likely pick up. You're looking then at the Giants with Dable.
Yes.
Yeah.
They've got a shit wide receiver group. If Hodgins, rather than Kumaro, becomes available, or if they both became available, he would be taking Hodgins 9 times out of 10. Maybe Kumaro could be picked up by Green Bay, but last time he was released, Green Bay didn't pick him up. I think Hodgins is the one that you want to build, as Dean's always said, his philosophy is build through the draft, and Hodgins was that draft pick.
Mm.
So that, to me, is something that's going to keep, it's going to be a little bit more favourable as well in Hodgins' favour. The fact he's learning and playing special teams and actually can contribute more on the offence, again, is why I've classed him, for me, as a lock on there. But at the end of the day, everyone does these 53s. Everyone's is different. And at the end of the day, we'll be coming cut day, which is what, Tuesday, I think? We'll all be scratching our head going, what the fuck?
Yeah. And whoever they release, I think, are going to be the catch. Are going to be, you know, valued by other teams that have weak wide receivers and you know, weak other weak parts of their team. Somebody like Jake Umro and Hodgins, 5 or 6 years ago, would probably be wide receiver 3 and 4. You know, that's kind of how far the Bills have come.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the offensive snaps from the Panthers game, and Isaiah Hodgins pretty much played the whole game. Kumaro played pretty much 4 snaps.
So what does that tell you?
So,
what does that tell you? That tells me that the firsts didn't play the game. The players they're taking didn't play the game.
Yeah.
So I think that tells you that they're taking Kumaro.
Yeah, he's got a point.
I mean, Shakir played pretty much three of the first 4 as well, and then nothing after that. But I think it's arguing to be made
for rookies getting a bit of live action.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, but my tight end locks, I've got Dawson Knox.
Yeah,
obviously. And
you would hope that would make it.
And
OJ Howard.
Okay.
At the moment, I haven't seen enough from Tommy Sweeney to actually to say he's a lock on there. But I also think that Quinton Morris, the other tight end, has had a decent off season. That it's going to be a battle between those two. If they do roster 3 tight ends, and don't forget, Gillum can play tight end if needs be. That third tight end, I think, is going to be really a toss of a coin between Morris and Sweeney.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think again, you know, you always have to preface everything by saying Tommy Sweeney's very well liked, isn't he, within the locker room, but he. Sal Mayer, who's everyone's bitter uncle who's always got an opinion on something on a podcast. But I do like him. I do like his insight. Sal Mayer always has a saying of that this person is a guy, which is they're not exactly special, but they show up, they work hard, and they can be part of the team. And I think Tommy Sweeney is a guy, but I haven't seen anything extraordinary that would. He would be occupying the space. I think you give it to Morris.
Go on, Mark.
So I think from what I read and what I see, if they could ditch Howard now, they would. I think both Morris and Sweeney have shown more than Howard so far in training camp and in the games that I saw. If they could trade Howard, I think that, and from what I've read, they're actively trying to find a trade partner for him because they don't want to eat the dead cap space that releasing him would give them. If they can't find a trade partner, I think OJ Howard makes it. And I think it'll be Tommy Sweeney that's with him. If they could trade him, I think they would take both Sweeney and Morris. For me, they definitely take 3.
Yeah. I think the one thing that goes against Tommy Sweeney at the moment is that he's injury prone. Okay, the issue with his heart, was it? That can't be helped. That can't be helped. That's something that is physical on there. But I think he's been injured quite often outside of that heart inflammation on there, which I think could come back to haunt him a little bit. I mean, obviously, Howard, he's pretty much your all-rounder type, so he actually can go and block although he did look a bit out of sorts against the Panthers. And Quinton Morris essentially is a wide receiver in a tight end body. So it's another catchable offensive player for Josh Allen at the end. So I think, again, this is going to be a toss of a coin one, but I think Sweeney may be a little bit more out of it, maybe just because of his injury. But then again, how many times last season did they roster in the match day squad three tight ends?
Yeah.
So that's that there. And I don't think there is really any doubt about this, about the offensive line locks. You might query one of them, but I have Dawkins, Saffold, Morse, Bates, Quisenberry, Brown, Doyle, Manx, Van Routen.
Nine. I would agree, except for one. And I've got Bobby Hart in over Van Routen. Nine as well.
I would take both and go with 10, because I think offensive line, you need the depth. I would sacrifice a wide receiver for an O-lineman. But I would take six receivers and I'd go 10 O-linemen. And so I'd put both in, Bobby Hart and Van Rosen.
So I'm looking at the snap count from last night. The guys that didn't play were Tommy Doyle, Ryan Bates, Roger Saffold, Mitch Morse, Greg Manx, Deion Dawkins, David Quisenberry, and Spencer Brown had two snaps or two series. The other guy that didn't play was Van Rosen.
Yeah.
Or Van Rooten, however you pronounce his name. So you had pretty much your offensive line that game was after the second series. Luke Tenuta, Alec Anderson, Bobby Hart, Jacob Capra, and Tanner Owen. They played pretty much every single snap on there. And I did, as much as people, and I see your point, Mark, about Bobby Hart, In the games I've seen him give up. Even when he's moved inside, he did give up a couple of bad plays. And actually, especially against the Panthers, I'm trying to recollect which ones it were, where he completely missed his assignment and they broke through and actually got a hit on Keenum and Barkley. But it's what McDermott said when he released someone, like, I think it was Cody Ford, when he traded Cody Ford to the Cardinals, that what he wants is guys that have positional versatility. And do you trust Bobby Hart as a tackle as well as a guard? That's one question.
Not particularly, but
they obviously got that on there. But
we are talking about the ninth or tenth player here, aren't we?
Exactly.
You guys that are coming in first.
He's only really in the off season only played guard at right guard. Van Rooten has played all the interior line.
Yeah.
So again, there you've got the versatility of playing all spots. Bobby Hart has only really played right guard and right tackle. So you've got Bates, Brown, Doyle, and Dawkins already as your four tackles in there. So do you do someone that's transitioning this year, a la Cody Ford last couple of seasons, and it's like second season, moving into guard and learning that position, or a guy that has that experience across the interior for that last spot, which probably will not make a difference to the game day roster, because there's more than likely they will not roster all nine or 10 if they went with 10 onto the match day roster.
And I think it's likely that whoever out of these, whether it's Bobby Hart, Greg Van Rotten, or whoever, as soon as Ike Booker's back from the pup list, they're cut or released for him anyway.
Exactly. So I think at the end of the day, I don't think there's not really much a debate on that. Whoever goes to that ninth guy or even 10th guy, depending if they cut someone else when Botka's back or not. I think it's interesting, to be honest. And who knows, they may have a chance to shine and see more in the in practices up until the game, and obviously go from there.
Yeah.
So that's 23 on the offense. I think the offense has more, I don't know whether they call it flexibility or a lot more, what's the other one I'm trying to think of? Intrigue about how they make up that roster. I think the
defense, there's more bubble positions there, right? The defense is more of a lock. Mm.
Yeah, okay. That's probably better said than what I'm trying to explain. it's been one of those days. But I think defense is pretty much set in stone, really. Mm. I mean, defensive ends, again, I don't know what you class Von Miller as. Do you class him as a defensive end, or do you class him as a linebacker? But
end for me. I think he will go. It will be a defensive line, defensive end. That's what I think it would be.
If then that's the case, we'll stick with defensive end. So defensive end, we've got Miller, Russo, Epinesa, Basham, Lawson.
Yep.
Interior, correct. Jones, Oliver, Settle, Phillips.
Yep. Totally agree. 100%.
Actually, 9.
Yeah, definitely agree. Yep.
No argument.
And which is kind of frustrating, but I hope they actually manage to find a way to get Brandon Bryant on that practice squad.
Yeah.
Mm. Because if any of those four go down, I feel more comfortable having Brandon Bryant come in and actually be that relief from the practice squad on there, because he's shown flashes in this preseason and in training camp that he can be a valuable member of this defense.
Yeah, I think his lack of special teams prowess hurts him making the roster. Yeah. Special teams would be the practice squad would be great, but I think that's his limit.
Hmm. Linebacker, we've got Edmonds, Milano, Bernard, Matakevich, Dodson.
Yep.
Agreed. The only question would be Baylen Spector, but I think you're right. I think it's those five.
He probably just misses out, doesn't he, Baylen Spector, which is shame. Keep him on for another year. He's still only a rookie, isn't he? Might be an interesting year too if they can't find a deal.
And then you've got, looking at snap count, you had Dodson and Bernard pretty much playing the whole of the first half. And then Joe Giles Harris, Ben Inspector and Andre Smith pretty much playing the second half on there. So there's not really much you can say too much about that. Maybe Joe Giles Harris, if you have to roster an extra person on there, from what I've seen in the offseason, I think he could just be above Spector, but I think they find a way to get Spector onto that practice squad.
Yeah, great.
Cornerback, obviously, we know potentially, we haven't had it confirmed yet, if they're going to activate Trey White from the PUP list or put him on the PUP list on there. So at the moment, I'm saying he's not going to be available. He's going to be put on the PUP list. We're still on the PUP list. That's why I'm going
on this. That seems very likely, doesn't it? I think, yeah, that seems to be the way that it's trending at the moment.
So I live for controversy, so I am going to say they activate him even if they don't play him for the first couple of games. There you go. Time to that, Robin's prediction. I don't think they put him on their PUP list. I think they activate him and it'll be, a real WWE moment, entrance music moment. Trey White steps onto the field and everyone goes crazy. The Royal entrance number 30 at the Royal Rumble, Trey White.
I think he'll be on the PUP list, and I think that allows them to pick somebody else and then see how he progresses. I don't think there's much interest in him or that they want to rush him back too quickly.
So I've got then, if you look at that, then you've got with him on the PUP list, you've got Elam, Benford, Jackson, Teron Johnson, Saran Neal.
I've got one more.
Locks. Go on.
I would have one more. I would also, if you've got Trey White on the pup list, I think you take six and Cam Lewis will be included, who will be cut when Tre'Davious White comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you take six, if we do it then, and we can talk about this in a minute, if you talk about six and Trey White's not on there, you think it's going to be those five plus Trey White as your six cornerbacks. That's if Trey White is rostered, but going to be inactive for the first 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, if White's there, it's White, Jackson, Ilan, Benford, Johnson, and Cyran Neal.
Yeah.
No questions on defensive backs, unless you've got any other. Poyer, Hyde, Jaquan Johnson, Damar Hamlin.
I think that's the easiest position group in all of the NFL.
Apart from
no arguments there. Poor Josh Thomas.
Yeah, but I think he's a practice squad guy. I think Nick McLeod's shown something going from corner to safety. So there are, and this is a good thing, there are some good guys that you can try and get onto the practice squad. But we've known in the past that not everyone that gets cut from us goes on to the practice squad.
Nope. Some will be waived. Some will be waived and some won't make it through waivers.
Yeah. Some, if they make it through, will not be put on the practice squad because they have a habit of scouring other guys to stick them on the practice squad. I think last year they had three or four, maybe a bit more, practice squad guys that were part of the Bills in the off season. The rest of it was filled out by guys from other teams. So so it's going to be interesting. So that's 23 defensive players we've got with White on pup to start with. So we're at 46. And you know we're going to have Bass, Reed Ferguson, and a punter on there. Yeah. And this is obviously everyone now knows the news, what's going on regarding the punter situation and all that. I know you two want to talk a little bit about it, so I'll give you the floor. But just before we do that, that means we've got 49 locks. So that to be arranged or to be determined, punter obviously is a lock on there. So we'll have a little discussion about what four guys we can stick on and make that 53. But I know you guys want to talk a little bit about the whole erasure situation on there. So I'll give you guys the floor.
Yeah, I think it's just it's obviously quite a big story at the moment, and it seems like, you know, there's a lot of allegations going around there at the moment, and he's clearly done something very silly in his previous life, a couple of years before he got to this stage of his career. It seems to me that this is a distraction that the Bills absolutely don't need, regardless of what ends up being what happening with the legalities of the situation. This is it. You hope that you don't see the punter too much anyway, for a Buffalo Bills team. So regardless of the hype that there was and the hyperbole that goes around the whole punt god thing that, you know, takes on a bit of a different meaning now. I think that he's someone that we need to be looking to move on from the roster as quick as possible.
Yeah, at time of recording, he wasn't playing. He didn't dress and was not seen in a Bills jersey at the preseason game. He is technically on the roster at the moment, but he's not practicing today with no obvious injuries. As far as I'm concerned, he's gone. What I suspect they're doing at the moment is, if he signed a rookie contract, and he will have, you can't just fire someone and to head off any comments about innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, you are innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. You don't have to be convicted of a crime to be fired from your job. And what we've seen, it seems to me prima facie, is that this is a statutory rapist who has been at least extremely misleading about the events that took place less than 1 year ago. It's about 10 months ago. And it seems to me that at the very least, the Bills are culpable for not fully committing to an investigation. They say that they had taken place, but that sounds like a PR type statement that we've investigated. It seems that they allowed the allegation that was in place about that individual. They accepted, I think, his side of the story. So it's funny when people say both sides of the story. I think they accepted his side of the story. This is only the victim's side of the story that has recently emerged. That is good enough. When people talk about evidence, and that's just my final point, people talk about evidence. Sworn testimony in a civil case is evidence. It's not just somebody's say-so. It's not just somebody's anonymous tweet on a social media platform. That's a legal submission with all the strings that come attached to that. Circling back to football, this guy's gone. You can probably get a punter from somewhere. I mean, Matt, good old Matt Barkley chipped in for us.
Maybe that's how he makes the roster.
Yeah, exactly. Get Barkley back. Yeah, you know, you can get someone to kick a ball. I mean, I think you get about, you know, get a few hundred grand, don't you, a year for doing it. I'm sure all of us could probably, you know.
I'll do it, yeah.
For a bit, and I'll do it.
Tell you what I'll do. I'll let them pay me $1,000 per punt.
There you go. Yeah, done. Yeah, a couple of season tickets. Yeah, fine. Done. I'll work.
Sorted. Happy day.
Yeah. Pay you $1,000 per punt. Yeah, they go every time. Fourth down. Fuck it. We're not letting them punt. Let's go.
Yeah. Go for it again. You know what? I'm all right with that. I'm fine with that.
We're on our own 5-yard line. We've got it's 4th and 20. Let's get the punter. No, fuck that. Let's not get the punter on. I'll pay him £1,000. Let's go for it. 4th and 20 on our 5-yard line.
So yeah, I mean, good luck to Matt Hack. I mean, he's already signed with the Colts, hasn't he? I'm not sure we'd really necessarily want him back, but actually had an all right training camp. Actually, he didn't seem to be okay during preseason. There's guys getting released. There'll be guys getting released on Tuesday. There'll be someone who can come through the door and can do a job. So it's not good. This is the second final thing that I'm going to say, but you could see in the press conference after the game that McDermott was not acting. This is a guy that had only been recently made aware of the extent of the allegations, and he looked upset, because for everything he's preached about culture, this must have been a massive slap in the face to realise that he had not been given the full picture, because there's no way he could have known the extent of that allegation and proceeded. He's clearly been, you know, blindsided, as I think all of us have. And I think they'll be now going through that process of getting him gone, and you won't see him in a Bills jersey again.
Do you think there's any way that Jorge gets released from the Browns and we can have him back?
Oh, that would be good. And anything that makes the Browns look bad is good.
It's fine by me.
Good
for me
as well. So yeah, let's all chip in and cover the difference in salary as well. Yeah, let's get going.
Yeah, sounds good.
Can't wait for that Panthers Browns week one game as well. But that was a real interesting non Bills game. I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to the roster then. We've got 49. We've got 49 guys already rostered and locked. As I say, we'll do it based on mine. Obviously, we'll talk about the rest afterwards. So let's just go for Locke, Allen, Keenum, Singletary, Moss, Cook, Gillum, Diggs, Davis, McKenzie, Shakir, Crowder, Hodgins, Knox, Howard, Dawkins, Saffold, Morse, Bates, Quisenberry, Brown, Doyle, Manx, Van Roten, Miller, Russo, Epinesa, Basham, Lawson, Jones, Oliver, Settle, Phillips, Edmonds, Milano, Bernard, Matkevich, Dodson, Elam, Benford, Jackson, Johnson, Neal, Boyd, Hire, Hamlin, Johnson, Bass, Tubby, Terman, and Ferguson. How I said all that without
well actually...
Impressive.
Cuthbert Dibble Grub. Yeah.
I felt like, do you ever remember the TV show Animaniacs?
Yeah, yeah. Love
where
that show.
The countries and all that, where you just round them off, just say every country brand new, barely stop and take a breath. I just felt that moment listening to all those guys.
I did not expect to be talking about the Animaniacs today. That was that's come out of nowhere.
But the four other positions, where do you see on this roster now? So that you can fit those four extra guys. So we got four guys that we can really play with. That sounded bad. We got four guys that we can play with.
Four spots on the roster we can play with to populate them with four guys.
We got four guys that we can place on the roster. There we go.
Yes, that would be the correct way of putting it.
Was Cam Lewis one of your locks? I don't think you had him in there, did you?
No, he wasn't one of the locks. No.
So I think for me, if Trey White is out, definitely Cam Lewis is one of the four.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put Lewis in there, and I'll just put replaced by White when he comes back, when active.
Yeah, definitely he will be there.
So that'll be our six cornerback. Oh, excuse me, I've got so much gas, it's unbelievable. Oh, six cornerbacks on there.
Yeah.
So that's 50 guys we've got locked.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to go with a seventh wide receiver? So obviously we all have our differences. Both me and Robin think Hodgins get it. You put Kumaro on there. Do you stick Kumaro as that seventh? Do you roster seven?
I wouldn't, because as I made the point, I think it would be Kumaro over Hodgins. But if we're going with yours, then yes, I would definitely take a seventh, and it would be Jake Kumaro. He offers more on special teams. And I think he is more likely, because of that, also to get picked up on waivers. So I would definitely less. I would take a seventh and make Jake Kumaro in there.
So let's do seven, and we're on 51. So we've got two more spots left. Do you take another tight end?
No, I don't think I would. I think it will either be Sweeney or Morris. I don't think they will take both. I think I'd be probably
more... Which one do you think will be selected? So if we roster another 53, we roster another guy on there, we put a third tight end on there. Are we in do we come to an agreement that it's going to be Sweeney or Morris, or are we just going to...
I think it will be Sweeney. That would be my third. I think it's very close, and I think they would rather take Sweeney and Morris, but I think if we're only taking one of them, it's Tommy Sweeney for me.
Robin?
I don't think we take an extra tight end. I think we stick to three.
Okay, so you stick with two.
Yeah, only got two locks. I think we need a third.
Oh, your lock is, well, the three that I would go for is Knox, Howard, and Morris. I think Howard got better during preseason, so I think he might surprise a couple of people. That's my three.
Damn it! Why do I always have to get the deciding factor here? For sake. Do you guys just plan this every time we have to discuss all that, and we have to make a decision that
it doesn't matter, Matt. You always side with Robin anyway, so it doesn't make any difference.
I would say if there's any spare, and I'm running through the numbers, and I came to 53 with mine. So I think there was a slight question about what we called as running backs, which we included fullbacks and stuff. I came to five on that. And my big switch was I was saying six wide receivers and 10 O-linemen. So I was saying if there is any slack, if there is any capacity, I would go an extra O-lineman or possibly D-lineman. Is my extra one. I think we're good for receivers, tight ends, running backs.
Well, this is gonna shock people.
Is this the black shear theory?
This is kind of the black shear theory, but I'm going to sort it out in a minute.
Okay.
I'm going to, obviously, with tight end, and I'm just trying to know how to word this now. With a tight end, obviously, I think as much as I want to push it to be Morris, I do think it's going to be Sweeney. So, yeah. Mark, I am actually agreeing with you on this one. But I'm just looking. But it's with my heart is actually inside now, just trying to be ripped apart as you're trying to make that decision. But if we add up what we got, so we've got Allen, Keenum, we've got two running back, two quarterbacks, Singletary, Moss, Cook, Gillum as your running back stable at the moment. So that's what, six. We're taking seven wide receivers. So that's what, we're on six, that's 13. 3 tight ends,
16,
9 O-line, that's 25. So we've got 25 offensive players. We've got 5 defensive ends, 4 defensive tackles. We've got 5 linebackers, that's 14. We've got 6 defensive backs.
45.
And we've got 4 safety, so I make that 24.
It's 49 plus long snapper, kicker, punter.
Yeah, so
we've got one more. We've got one more spot.
One more, which would be Tywan Jones, because that'd be your fifth running back.
Yeah, Tywan Jones, I would agree. Yeah, completely same as me. I think that's where your fifth running back, Tywan Jones, special teams ace as well. I think,
and they love him.
I think he would be him.
Yeah, he never comes out. He never comes up as a sort of question mark. Does he's on? It's Josh Allen and Tywan Jones, isn't it? You know, he's always there. Yeah.
This is where I would say you could roster Blackshear on there, and it comes down to that tight end.
Blackshear over Jones.
Keep Jones. You can still get Blackshear and maybe take out Sweeney or Morris if they haven't performed, but I'm just going on the fact that you've got a guy that you can actually develop. He's impressed in preseason. Yes, we'll always go back saying he's running against second and thirds with a sprinkling of first team guys in there. But for an undrafted rookie who's passed over 256 times in the draft, the fact that he's made a living, he's actually contributed on special teams. And if you got, and obviously Tywan Jones is a gunner, we've rostered Kumaro to be a gunner, Lewis can play a gunner, Saran Neal's a gunner, I don't know, Matakevich is a gunner, I don't know who else plays gunner, plays special teams roles out of everyone else, but you have Hodgins, who's playing a gunner, to take that Jones position, and you roster Blackshear to be specifically your punt and kick returner. And the fact that he's had in this offseason, and he's had pretty much taken the majority of the punt and kick return snaps, and he's looked good in doing it. I can't remember what his exactly average is. Let me just see if I can try and find out what I'm talking about it. The fact that he's been averaging literally like 20 yards or so per punt and per kick return. You've got a guy there that you can roster, have him set as your punt kick returner, and actually have him develop behind. And as I say, Singletary's coming into his contract year. Moss is on a prove it year. I mean, what does he do? Blackshear, he's been averaging 17 yards kick return against the Colts, had one punt for 16 yards against the Broncos. He had we didn't actually have any punt returns.
We didn't punt at all.
but he had one kick return for 22 yards. And against the Panthers, he had that's the Panthers list. There's the Bills list. He's had 2 kick returns, 25 yards per on his 2 returns. And okay, he had 2 punts, which only returned 7 yards. But especially on kick returns, where 9 times out of 10 it's going back to touchbacks, with those averages, you're getting closer to where you'd be for a touchback and a little bit more.
We talk about 25 yards. Is that good? Considering if he just leaves that sail over his head, he doesn't get smashed, and we get about that anyway.
We get 20 yards, so we get the extra 5 yards. Okay, it doesn't make too much of a difference at the thing on there, but it's a way of actually keeping away from others, because you know Dable is going to be hovering over any Bills cuts to actually take him. They've got issues with it.
I get it. I think he looks exciting. I don't think the kick return thing is too much of an indicator. I think they would rather let it sail over his head, go on the 20 and not take the potential fumble.
Then you've got obviously the punt return as well. And if you're going to try and use Shakir a little bit more in the offense side, do you really want him risk getting injured, taking punt returns where you've got Blackshear, a guy who is probably not going to see the field much as a running back behind Cook, Singletary and Moss, but mainly just solely reason be there being for the return game.
I'm not sure Shakir is going to see the field all that much, really, if you think that it's Davis, definitely, then McKenzie, and there's possible Crowder, and then Shakir. I think Shakir is getting on the field as the fourth receiver at best. I mean, he's very likely going to be seeing most of his time on special teams and kickoff returns, isn't he?
I would agree. You're not selling the Blackshear thing to me, I'm afraid, Matt. Sorry. It's as nice as it would be, and as much as I hope he gets through waivers, and we hang on to the guy on the practice squad. And to be honest, running backs very rarely get taken on waivers after the initial cut. So I think there's more chance, I think, actually, that he makes the practice squad, but then gets signed to an active roster somewhere else that is a bit lower on depth. I still think it'd be Tywan Jones.
Yeah,
that's fair. That's fair. I say we'll roster Jones down because I can see that they're going to probably value Jones a little bit more. But as I say, that's my way of actually thinking they can get him in, even if they do go down the route of two tight ends, which would be harsh on Sweeney and Morris, especially Morris, who I think has had a decent. Decent preseason, off season, preseason, same thing. Yep. But it's obviously a way to do it. But there have been ways and means, and I think I mentioned these in previous shows of getting Blackshear on there. But in that instance, then if we take Jones, we have 26 on offense, 24 on defense, 3 special teams as our roster lock.
Mm. I mean that's a Super Bowl winning roster right there.
Yeah, there you go. Let's call it.
Done. May as well not bother playing the season now.
Yeah, in February.
Just, yes. Yeah. Done.
See you in the homecoming.
Yeah, easy. We'll see you at the White House.
Yeah. Well, who do you think is going to be? That's for another time.
Let's not go there.
Yeah, let's not go there.
It's still
going to be Biden. It's still Biden by February, right? He can't be, unless he's dead. Can't happen. Yeah, sure.
Unless someone, sets off a car horn near him or something, because he does seem a little...
Falls off a bike again or something like that.
Yeah, right? like turns up the TV or slams the door or something.
We'll wait till the following year when we go back-to-back Super Bowl wins. Then we'll discuss who the president will be.
Oh, I mean, even then, it's not for 2 more years, so we'd be on our third Super Bowl win. We'd be three-peating at that point, but we may be.
Imagine that.
We may be getting ahead of ourselves.
Imagine that.
All that 57 Super Bowls, and then 56 Super Bowls, and then 3 in a row.
So we could be the first. It could have. We could be the first team to go to 4 straight Super Bowls and lose.
Yeah.
And also potentially be the first team to go to 4 straight Super Bowls and win.
Oh, we're 4 now. It's going up.
Yeah.
4 wins.
So, 5. So, yeah, at this point, yeah.
Maybe it could happen.
From now on, we just win every Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. No, not going to lose a game.
Let's build the dynasty up again. But
I'll settle for one.
I hope what I'll do, I'll put this... What I'll do, I'll put this 53-man up on Twitter, get everyone's views on there if they think there should be chops and changes and all that, and see what you guys think, and might even discuss this on the next show. Next show is pretty much going to be pretty much a review of the 53, if we were correct in all 53 predictions, or if there's something that shocked us, and also do season predictions.
Yeah.
So like breakout star and all that, and obviously preview the opener against the Rams.
Yes.
On Friday, the 9th of September, for everyone in the UK and in Europe, but Thursday for anyone listening in America. We'll preview that and obviously preview, hopefully, the game that will start us off on our Super Bowl run. And have you guys got anything else to add just before we disappear?
No, just if we can have a 17 game prediction one as well, and then we can play that back at the end of the season to find how wrong we all were.
We can.
I'd like to do that. I'll just predict all 17 games and just, even if it's just win lose, even if it's just win lose.
That's really easy. I can say win 17 times in a row. That's no problem.
Yeah, that's how we can all do that. I'm gonna like lowball it slightly. I think we lose one. I'm going 16 and one. So that's me. I didn't want to jinx it by saying 17 and 0. You know, we're not unbeatable. So
we'll fit that in. We'll fit that on the next show. Hey, Mark, have you got any last thing to say?
Only that we're going to look really stupid when we finish the season 4-13 and it's been an absolute disaster, right?
Fire, yes. Josh Allen. Kill him.
Yes.
Oh, dear. No.
Yeah, as always, follow us on the socials at UK_Bills, at RWBB_podcast. Obviously, week 3 is our first home game, and our Junior Jackson's up in Manchester are hosting. We're hosting down in the Fitzrover Bell, so make sure you put those in your diaries wherever you are in the country to get to one of those events. Obviously, with the Fitzrover, they'll be showing all Bills games at 6 and 9, and obviously 9:25 a little bit. They'll still show that game, but they won't show any of the midnight 1 a.m. games, unfortunately, but that's license law. So make sure you get down to at least the Fitzrover Bell as you can on Sundays. You can follow Robin at
Robin C. Armstrong.
Follow Mark, and this is the first time I don't have to say it in a while.
This is Spark, yes.
Follow me, Matt SW86, and obviously Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook, YouTube, UK_Bills. And from the three of us, it's good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Continue to subscribe and follow. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are.
Bills on three. One, two, three.